This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
You talking to me? You talking to me? Then who the hell else are you talking? Talking to me?
But face it, you're a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples?
It's no hassle. But all I'm saying, they're gonna get a...
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Look, let me tell you a little story about a man named...
Even before you start... That was a preemptive shh. Just know I have a whole bag of shh with your name on it.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's a bullshit question.
Does that mean that you can't answer it?
It's a bullshit question. It's impossible to answer.
Impossible because you don't know the answer.
Nobody could answer that question.
E-G-I-E, fuck you. The point is this, is that when I say jump, you say okay, okay?
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Where are you guys? I'm going home.
Listening to Place to Nation Pop's Great Debate, a spirited discussion forum covering topics in the world of movies, music, television, sports, and pop culture. And now, here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to the Great Debate. That's right, we're back for a third time. This is Great Debate episode number 3. I am your host, Andy Atherton, and thank you for joining us here on this lovely Monday night in Studio C here at Place to Be Nation. But of course, as usual, I am not alone, and I am joined by 3 great guests tonight, and let's bring them in here and get the show on the road. So first off, probably one of the most heard voices here on the pop feed. She is the co-host of Geek and Sassy, the co-host of Talkin' Pop over on the wrestling feed, actually, the co-host of Talkin' WCW and the host of Freak Out Drivin', Miss Jennifer Smith. Jenny, thank you for joining us tonight here on Great Debate.
Thank you. The doctor is in, AA, and I appreciate you saying WCW like that. That was classy.
Yes, I loved the Monday Night Wars, and I'm happy to have a WCW show because, you know, there was always good to have competition. That's why I hope AEW does something.
Mm-hmm.
So check it out over on the wrestling feed. Also joining us tonight, he is co-host of the This Week in the NFL podcast, and also a new podcast coming soon, This Week in Sports. He also appears regularly on the Place to Be podcast, also on the Year in Pop with myself, Scott Criscolo, and George Ribolino, Mr. John Arsenio D'Amato. John, how are you tonight?
Good evening. I heard there was a help wanted ad for a master debater or a masturbator. I think I applied for the wrong one, but we'll give it a go. More of a masturbator than master debater, but it's a pleasure to get to debate a lovely woman like Jenny. The only interactions with females are usually getting yelled at or what's called an argument, and it's nice to switch it up and have a pleasant debate, a friendly debate.
Yes. The show hasn't started yet, hon. So we'll just see.
You are the she's the Dr. Melfi to your Tony Soprano there. Oh, we're starting early, Jenny. Come on. And rounding out our quartet tonight, he is the host of one of the co-hosts of the NBA Team podcast, Mr. Andrew Riche. Andrew, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you. A little bit late to the game, but I'm finally here.
Yeah, better late than ever.
Yeah, they're very inside baseball on that one.
Yeah, people don't need to know. We, you know, we're good. We're all good.
Yeah, it's great. I'm going to enjoy myself here.
The original core four guys always throw me off on your first appearances. Telling you, when Jordan came on the first time, him and Aaron just totally threw me off. And it was like, I think, my second podcast ever.
Yeah.
It was quite funny. But so we're here. For those of you who have listened to the show before, you know what we're about. We're going to talk a little sports, a little pop culture, a little rapid fire at the end of the show. And we're just going to, you know, throw it out there. Also, don't forget to like The Great Debate over on the Facebook. Every day I have two polls going up. In the morning, you know, there's a pop culture, sports, you know, this is that. And in the PM, it's a wrestling debate. So did you guys vote today out there?
I think so. Which one was today?
Today was the first of many console wars, the NES versus Sega Genesis.
Jenny, NES for sure.
NES. Oh, it was great. But I mean, for me, Sega, now this is going to age me. Sega is like freshman year of college for me. Ooh. Freshman, sophomore year of college. Yeah, we used to play hockey tournaments every week on, I think it was NHL 92. Like, that's why, like, whenever I see Swingers, it, like, it tugs at my heartstrings. What do you say, Andrew? Did you vote today?
No, I did. I had a Genesis. I had a Genesis. It was, I don't know if I, like played favorites with it, but, you know, it was just one of those things where that was what you got. And I will say this. If you had a Genesis and an SNES, then your parents must have been rich, you know, because nobody did. Nobody had, and then you had the friend who had the Jaguar, and you're like, why the hell do you have the Jaguar?
Like the people that, those are people like I got the Dreamcast too, also.
Yeah, and the Sega CD. I remember Sega CD.
Oh yeah, I sold my NES.
The best one was the 32X, which was like, it was like a mushroom cloud. Like I used to have a rollout on the Genesis, you know, I know for these millennial kids they won't understand, but you have to actually like snap the input to your TV on your channel to get to the video game, and I know it's crazy, but I would have to roll out the Genesis. Well, mm-hmm. The 32X was like a cartridge, and you had to put it in. So I would have to pull out the Genesis, then put the 32X in, then put the cartridge into the 32X. It was. And yeah, that failed like quicker than the Saturn did. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I sold my NES in high school, and then to buy my Sega Genesis actually.
And now the person who bought that just made thousands of dollars on eBay for Christmas.
I had so many systems. I had the ColecoVision with the Atari expansion. That's mm-hmm. That's dating me. My sister actually blew it up and had to buy me a new one. I don't know how she did it. All she was like, all I wanted to do was play Super Breakout. I don't know what she did. John, what about you? You a video gamer back in the day?
Definitely Sega Genesis for the EA Sports.
Yes.
The NHL 94. I used to like to play the Rangers. Put Chris King out there, and in 10 seconds, he's already in a fight.
Yes. The fighting was the best. Time. Yeah, and I think 93 was probably their peak year, though, in terms of like gameplay with the Deeks and the, you know, unfortunately, on 92, we did a draft in my dorm in college, and I actually got the Kings. Learned how to play quite well because that was the Gretzky Mike Gartner team. So, but speaking of the NHL, that's going to lead us into our first sports question of the night. So, we're going to talk All-Star games for a moment. So, we're going to go around the panel and see what are your feelings on all the All-Star games in the major leagues. So, first, we're going to talk NHL. John, you're a fellow Ranger fan. As I am, both New Yorkers. What has been your favorite format they've used? You know, they've used East versus West, like most, you know, conference versus conference, USA versus the world. What do you prefer over there in the hockey All-Star game?
Yeah, I like the East versus West, which looks like they've gone away from for forever. I've checked out on all All-Star games in general. But at least in hockey, it used to be East or West. You know, they used to have some kind of a rivalry. And like back in the 70s, 80s, they actually took pride in winning. And, you know, it was more competitive. And now it's just more of just an exhibition.
Yeah, there's no hitting.
I mean, we're all wrestling fans. We get enough of sports entertainment and exhibitions. We want to tune into sports for wins and losses. So I really kind of checked out on all-star games in general. Just it's also for me, it's a good break from the season because all sports that you follow, the season's a grind, and it's good to just get that break. And especially if your team's competing for a championship, especially like baseball where it's such a grind, and every game's, you know, it's good to get that break.
Those 3 days off, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually at the All-Star game in 94 at the Garden. My friend of my dad's got his tickets, but we were in the skybox. I felt like I was watching the game at home. I wasn't like down with everybody on the floor. Yeah,
yeah, it's more for now it's more for kids and star fuckers. You get to see all the stars, you know, all together on the ice, you know, for one night. But there's not much else to it at this stage.
All right, cool. Andrew. So the NFL, the Pro Bowl, I don't know. Do you think that's kind of a joke these days? Cause, used to actually kind of mean something a little bit, you know, they used to get a trip to Hawaii, you know, now they moved it to Orlando and the weather has been crappy from what I understand the last couple of years out there. But, what do you think of the Pro Bowl? Is it, you know, didn't they have like a couple of like Michael Irvin and somebody picked teams last year?
Well, as a jaded Saints fan, I have to say the entire NFL is a fucking joke. And the thing is with this Pro Bowl is that as when everybody was younger, the Pro Bowl was the last football game of the year.
That's right.
It actually used to happen after the Super Bowl. It was the week after in, like you said, in Hawaii. And, you know, the only thing that was kind of cool about the earlier days of Pro Bowl is that there were some moments where some guys would get tagged. Like, it was not like, I mean, it was tackling in the actual Pro Bowl. Like, then they started doing the Teflon rules, which I don't even know when that started. I want to say it kind of happened around the time of like the late 2000s, when you couldn't blitz anymore and things like that. And it just got to be kind of almost hands off-ish. And then, like you said, they moved it to Miami, where they put it in the bye week for the Super Bowl, so that they had something to fill the time instead of just having this 2 week divot where you have no games and then you play the Super Bowl. So it was really for ratings purposes. The thing about the Pro Bowl is the NFL is so popular that people still watch the games, and they always go back to say that the ratings are still good compared to other telecasts. But the Pro Bowl is like, it's the least competitive of all the All-Star games by far.
Yeah.
You know, and I am not a fan of the Major League Baseball when they did the home field advantage result for the All-Star game. I did not like it at all, you know, because I felt like you were rewarding a league champion for home field for a game that actually didn't really matter that much anyway, you know, whereas, you know, in the Pro Bowl, long story short, I didn't feel like there was really that much I didn't have that much investment, but I had a little bit more when I was younger, definitely, than I do now. And the worst part about the Pro Bowl, especially if you do it during the Super Bowl, is that there's still a game left to play. So those teams that are in the Super Bowl are obviously not going to play in the Pro Bowl. So now you're going down to alternates. And now you're looking at these freaking guys that don't deserve to be in the Pro Bowl whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, is you always see like the Pro Bowl and you see like the guys who make it from the teams that lose in the championship games, and they're like that fake smile, like, yeah, we're happy to be here, but we'd rather be at the Super Bowl this week. But yeah, it was fun. Like back in the 80s, you know, you'd see like, you know, matchups and teammates like you'd never believe. You'd see like, you know, Cowboys and 49ers, you know, playing together.
I remember when Michael Vick ran in for a touchdown and Ray Lewis knocked him pretty good, and I think it was Ray Lewis who broke his leg in a preseason game like a year or two earlier. So, like, Vic scores a touchdown, and he gets tagged, and he, like, comes up, like, jaw-jacking. And this is, like, in the fourth quarter of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, those... But... What was that?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those... The Pro Bowl used to be, like, fun, you know? But now it's become, like, the Bud Bowl kind of thing, I think.
Yeah,
Now guys bailed out because it's not into Hawaii. It used to be as a reward. You get a trip to Hawaii if you had a good season. Guys are saying peace out. They could go to Orlando anytime. It's no big deal. So that's why a lot of guys are bailing out now, which makes it even worse.
Yeah, and you touched on about the baseball All-Star game. See, the one thing I always liked, though, about the Pro Bowl, it was at the end of the year. I always feel like a lot of the other sports, it's like rewards guys who have, like, good first halves. I'd always like to see something at the end of the season. You know, I know they have that, like, little break, which is great. But you have guys that have, like, great second halves or great overall seasons, and they don't get diddly, basically, for doing that. They don't get, like, called out, you know, or recognized.
Well, also, in Major League Baseball, they have every team represented, which I think is really silly.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, let me give you an example. Like, if we do that in the NBA, which Cleveland Cavalier is going to the All-Star game? Colin Sexton?
Yeah.
You know?
I have that down.
Seti Osman, you know?
Well, wasn't it the year they had the All-Star game at the Garden? There was no Knicks represented, right, John? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's pretty much the state of the Knicks for the last 20 years.
kind of embarrassing one. Like,
thank you for using that Cleveland as the example, Mr. Reich. Thank you. You could have easily used the Knicks as an example.
Well, the Knicks have Chris Stafford. Oh, yeah.
Jenny, do you watch any of the All-Star games?
If I watch anything, it's usually the baseball one.
Okay, July.
I'm going to be real good during this segment, Fran.
That's okay. You know, actually what's more fun around some of these are the more skills-based things that they do. You know, the slam dunk contest, the home run hitting contest. Mm-hmm. The skills competition, sometimes that's a little bit more fun because the game is like, yeah, it's just another game. But this is guys out there, like, you know, trying to have fun, showing, you know, trying to show off a little bit. Although the home run hitting home run derby has gotten a little too overproduced.
Well, that's when the All-Star game becomes less fun, when people pretend that it matters.
Yeah.
The one reason why I really do think the NBA All-Star weekend is the best and the All-Star game is the best is because the players really don't care. They're just like, whatever, let's show off. And, you know, even when they switched it around, because they went from forever, they had East versus West. And now it's the top players or the top vote getters in the conferences can choose their own players. You know, so LeBron is on one team this year. The other guy's Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's kind of different, but it doesn't really, like, hurt my feelings about tradition and stuff because who cares? It's just an All-Star game.
I was never a big fan of All-Star voting, though, by the fans because, you know, sometimes, like, guys made it that didn't really deserve it just because of popularity.
Yeah, Grant Hill was, like, the leading vote getter for, like, 3 years, and two of those years he didn't have a foot. Yeah, definitely. Yao Ming was, like, a leading vote getter for a very long time. And Yao Ming was a good NBA center, no doubt about it. But was he, like, better than Shaquille O'Neal or Tim Duncan in terms of votes? No, definitely not.
No. So, all right. Well, we're going to move on. John, give me a trend that athletes need to stop doing, like, in terms of, like, celebrations, both on and off the field, All-Star games, interviews, et cetera. What's something that they do that you just really don't like?
Okay, this is Mr. Reich is going to love this one. In both in college and in pros, there's a lot of times where, like, a guy will be fouled, and then after the whistle, he'll throw up a shot at the hoop, and then somebody from the defense will the whistle's already blown, and somebody from the defense will make a big effort to swat the ball out. Or even goaltend it out of the basket, you know, just for a pride thing. Now, one of these days, mark my words, unfortunately, it'll probably happen to like one of the Knicks in a couple of years, like Zion Williamson or somebody. Somebody's going to do that and tear like an ACL and have like a traumatic injury over something stupid that happens after the
I'll tell you who almost did something similar to that. Tony Allen did. because he went into the lane after he was fouled, but he was fouled well before. He went for a dunk, and when he landed, he tore his ACL.
Oh, God.
Now, that's different from what he's saying. But, yeah, I don't – you know, some people like that. Like, Rasheed Wallace was, like, renowned for doing that. He would swat every – you know, bring it back, you know.
Yeah, he started. He pretty much started that, yeah.
Yes.
But until somebody gets somebody, it's going to happen. Something's going to be a major injury, or you know, I don't want to see it and be, you know, say I told you so. But it's just silly. It's just a pride thing. You know, it has nothing to do with wins or losses or whatever. It's just a mentality, kind of youthful. That doesn't really lead to, you know, winning or losing.
Well, I'm sure that's happened in football with people doing those damn celebrations. Oh, you blocked a pass, big fucking deal, and you got to sit there. And run like, you know, you scored a touchdown.
And also, if I can add another one, this is our Giants can relate to this. Like when guys celebrate after making a stop on second down, and then the Giants led the league in this. They do like, you know, hokey pokey, dipping, dabbing, whatever, 50 times. And then on the third down, they just give up the first down anyways.
Yeah, no, you did what you're supposed to do. You didn't do a great play. You're supposed to deflect a pass,
you know? On second down. Yeah, then they get them. It happens so many times. It's ridiculous.
What about you, Andrew? What do you say?
Deleting tweets should be banned. if you've got the gall to say something and put it out there, you can't walk it back. That's the only thing that I would say. Like, if we're going to go all in on this, like, Me Too stuff, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, let's, like, put it all out in the public of what of all these things that you did, you cannot retroactively just go back and say, oh, I didn't mean that. I was angry. Like, no. You have to own up to what you said. There's so much of that deflective, PR-heavy type of hiding behind certain things. But there's got to be a point where it's like you have to take responsibility for what you wrote. Even if you think it was stupid, you got to at least take responsibility for it.
Yeah. Jenny, what's something you don't like athletes do?
Well, I really don't see what the big deal is, really, with the celebrations. I mean, if you scored a touchdown or hit a home run or whatever the fuck, you're going to freak out. You're going to, like, you know, puff your chest out and probably act a fool, do a Fortnite dance or something like that. I don't know. I mean, but as long as you're not, you know, screwing something up, I don't see the big deal.
Well, it's more about, I think the point was the celebrations for doing, like, a normal play. You know, you tackle somebody. Ooh, I did a celebration.
Well, you know, you're playing a sport. Your adrenaline's flowing. You're in the moment, and you know, you hit somebody hard and whatever. Want to talk some smack?
It's more about a change, because that wasn't this way like 15, 20 years ago. You know, people, like, you did your job. I mean, you carried yourself a certain way. You know, your job as a football, as a defensive lineman or defensive whatever, is to do this play. I mean, if you make a great one where you come out of nowhere and make a game-saving, you know, tackle, fine, celebrate all you want. But if you tackle a guy, you know, when you're a linebacker and one half of your line is getting through on the other side, he comes in, you just tackle him. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he was right there.
All right.
But mine is I hate when there's like a celebration and they bring their kids out with them. I'm like, people want to see you. They don't want to see your kids. Also, I hate when they have, and this happens at like all kind of celebrity events, like the Oscars, it could happen at, where they have their phones up and they're taping it. You know, I'm sure it'll be a great watch. Although people like who tape fireworks probably never go back and watch them. But it's like, yeah, I don't want to see you sticking your phone up in the air. People are here to, like, you know, we're at this Super Bowl parade to celebrate and to cheer you, not to you know, wave to your phone. Right? Does that annoy you guys? Bueller?
Yeah, definitely.
Bueller?
Definitely.
That's awesome.
Doesn't annoy us as much as it does you. It is what it is.
I mean, does anything happen unless you get it recorded on your phone, really? I mean,
well, just proof. There's cameras there already.
What? Not your camera, though. Not your point of view.
You know, it's also now that they all put, like, ski goggles on, too. And, you know, I understand champagne stings. I get it. But, you know, they're all wearing ski goggles when they win, like, a playoff series or something like that. I don't know. It just seems too manufactured, I guess. It's not as natural to me.
What would you rather, ski goggles or ski masks?
Well, ski masks would get kind of soggy from all the champagne, so probably.
Yeah, I don't know how, but somehow in the NFL locker room, the ski mask is in. I don't know how that happened.
Is it? I didn't see that part.
Kamara does it.
Oh, jeez.
After games. I don't get it, but whatever.
Yeah. Teach your own. So Andrew, give us a city that doesn't have a major sports franchise, but given, a team, it could become the next big sports city.
Well, Kentucky should have an NBA franchise right now.
Yeah.
Now,
that whole area is underserved.
Well, I'm going to just give the context of it is that, the Kentucky Colonels were like one of the highest attended ABA teams in, in the late 70s. Well, mm-hmm. The ABA-NBA merger occurred. And what happened is there were most of the teams got contracted because the owners just didn't have the wherewithal to want to actually spend the money or had the money to continue it. And the NBA knew that. So they were contracting almost all of the teams except for those few that, where the owners were going to be in the fold. And, the teams that survived were, I believe it was only four. It was the Indiana Pacers, the San Antonio Spurs, the Denver Nuggets, and the New Jersey Nets, which is because of Julius Erving.
Yeah.
Without Julius Erving, there is no Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the one that got sacrificed was the Kentucky Colonels, and I'll tell you why. Their owner was John Y. Brown, who was I think he had been the mayor of Kentucky or something like that. And he basically sold his share, which was $1.5 million. He sold his shares, and then he wound up using it later to, I want to say, buy the Boston Celtics.
Wow.
Years later. So he wound up turning around, the money he got from selling off his stake in the Kentucky Colonels to cut a deal with the ABA. But the thing was, first of all, they actually did win the ABA championship. They had a great fan base. They had they played at the Louisville Gardens. They could have easily played at Freedom Hall, in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Louisville, I guess it's a decent metropolitan area. Preparing for this, I actually did look at the top 100, in terms of the market share. And most of them are usually California, New York, places like that. But Louisville, Kentucky is somewhere in that top 50.
Wow.
That's one where if you brought them in there, I think people would actually fill up the Yum Center and do well. Football, I'm not absolutely sure about that. I think that they might be able to do something there. But for me, especially being on the basketball side, the fact that there is not a Kentucky team or franchise in the NBA, especially with the way that the fan bases are in Kentucky for basketball, is a sin.
Yeah. If you're a college basketball guy, you know all about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit, John, a little bit about the ABA on Year and Pop, because we started at 72, so we've just really mentioned it a little bit. But if you listen to, what was it, 73, was Winfield got drafted by an ABA team also? I think he got drafted by an NFL.
Well, he played for the Minnesota Gophers. He was a decent basketball player. The thing that was well known about that was that I'll show you the video one day. They got into a huge fight where Dave Winfield punched a guy right there on the court.
Wow.
I don't know about the ABA one. It wouldn't shock me. The ABA did a lot of really wacky stuff. They had guys fighting grizzly bears at halftime. People think that semi-pro was a joke. Semi-pro is real. Half that stuff that they talked about on that show, that movie, is real.
And that's coming soon to Laughing Theater. There will be a semi-pro episode, by the way.
Yeah. So there's a lot of silly stuff. There was a lot of great stuff. And man, the players in the ABA were so freaking good. I can't even begin to list how many great players came out of there that wound up migrating the NBA much later after the merger and wound up being the best players in the NBA. And some of which, because of the timing of it all with their careers, just never really their time was already passed by the time the NBA got there, like Connie Hawkins and David Thompson and people like that. And they were, but in the ABA, they were phenomenal.
Ah, Yeah. Jenny, you know, you're in, what, Northwest Florida, correct?
Yes.
You know, how do you think a team would do close to you? Because, I mean, you're what's the closest teams to you?
Let's see. You got Jacksonville. You got Tampa. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, New Orleans.
Yeah.
I actually was talking to my husband about this, and he was talking about he's from Corpus Christi, Texas.
Oh.
And he said he always wanted, like, a football team or a baseball team closer to him, even though San Antonio's there and Houston. He always thought that there would be, you know, a room for a team in Corpus Christi.
They could support a team, you think?
Yeah, that's what he, yeah.
Well, that'd be interesting. I mean, Texas is pretty damn big. So.
Yeah, right? There's plenty of people there.
Yeah. Yeah, John, what do you think? What's a city that you think could become the next big sports city?
Yes. Like Jenny said, Texas is definitely for football. I had down Austin. Mm-hmm. As, we didn't confirm it first, but definitely Austin's got a booming economy. They could support, you know, a sport like football where people go crazy. More people are interested in high school games or Friday nights than they are interested in some of the teams still around a draw like half a house. And Austin can handle it. A third team in Texas, it is the biggest state. And, definitely, there's never enough football in Austin. Good economy, people got money there to support it, and it's a good music scene, a lot of good tourist stuff, and definitely Austin.
Yeah, what do you think of Santa Fe? You think Santa Fe could support any kind of franchises out there,
or Albuquerque? Yeah, that's a spot.
There's a couple of areas that are underserved in the country.
And they would always have that advantage of the elevation.
Yeah.
That would be the other thing.
And I think Birmingham, too, because a friend of mine lives, well, he's in northern Alabama. I'm not quite sure where Birmingham is in the state, but that's
like central.
Yeah, I mean, college football is so huge there.
Right, yes.
But, you know, I mean, you know, you got to draw something away from the Braves. But,
I think one of the best minor league teams in the U.S. is in Birmingham. The Birmingham Braves, is that right?
No. Huh?
Am I wrong?
I don't. I'm not quite sure.
I don't know. You know, the same thing kind of goes on. You know, the other one I was thinking about, because college basketball, they actually run a lot of stuff in this venue, is Des Moines, Iowa. Oh. But when I looked at it, Des Moines is a very, very small population. Mm-hmm. Compared to most metropolitan cities, so that would be a no-go. The other one is Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Oh.
But who would go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota? You know, that's the problem.
Well, except for WCW, maybe.
Do a pay-per-view. I was going to say Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
What about, was Honolulu on that list you saw?
I think there was, Hawaii was on one of the lists I looked at, and I thought that was, I don't know.
I've always wondered how a franchise would do out there. Like when I used to play one of the All-Star Baseball games on my Xbox, and I built an expansion team. It was the Hawaii Manowars. So
I do like that name, though.
Yeah, well, they give you a kind of a choice, I guess, in the game. You could pick your city, and then you got all these different mascots to pick from. And I was like, oh, that kind of fits. And, you know, pretty dope uniforms they had and play in the ALS, but, you know, I always wondered how a franchise would do in Hawaii. Like, could they support it?
I mean, it would feel like the travel would be kind of brutal for that, though.
Well, it's no different than going over to London, I guess, for those
games. 6 a.m. Eastern time kickoffs are going to be rough. if Hawaii plays the Giants, it's going to be rough to get up for that game.
Yeah,
I guess they'd only play night games on the East Coast.
And Mexico is a no-go.
Obviously. Yeah.
I'll tell you, though, it's so nice, though, when you're like – from the East Coast, and you're like just happen to be like on vacation. Like I was in Vegas back in 2006 for my buddy's bachelor party, and that weekend the Yankees and the Red Sox played a 5-game series, and the Yankees I think actually swept it to pull back into the playoffs. But it was so great. There was one game that went like extra innings and everything. And if I was home, it would be like, you know, midnight, whatever, 1 o'clock in the morning. Out there, it's like 10 o'clock in Vegas. I was like, cool, we could still go out. It's still early enough. It's great out there. When, like, you know, those games, those NFL games in London, you get up, you see that game, and it's like, dude, you have your day ahead of you. It's awesome.
Yeah, the only problem is the games are always terrible.
Yeah.
Almost always. because half the time the team is sleeping. They're like it ain't until the middle of the second quarter. They're like, oh, shit, we got to play a football game. You know?
It's usually the Jaguars going over there.
Yeah.
John, give me a sport that you've tried to get into, either as a participant or a spectator, but you just couldn't.
That would be golf, definitely. Playing miniature golf, I can never get past that windmill, and it kind of translated for the. I think I just tried to play regular once, and it's rough. You need a lot of patience. It's even though I am an old man, it's an old man sport, and it's also just a hassle just to get prepared for it. You need the clubs, and you need the time. Weather's got to be perfect, and all that. It's a high maintenance, and also the individuals that play. Hopefully, nobody's offended if there are any golfers out there. But 99% of the individuals that play are of the douchewad variety.
But you get to drink while you golf, and also there's a cute little cart.
True.
That's fun to drive.
A lot of times there's kegs on the holes.
Right?
I mean, I play once in a while. I actually have a set of clubs, but it's only because my dad would go to, like, these, you know, outings and, you know, win raffles. And he's like, oh, I got these clubs here. You take them because I already have a set. So I'm like, all right.
So you're no slouch in the golf game.
I'm okay. I need a couple of lessons.
Yeah, don't flatter yourself. You're a tremendous slouch.
That's right. Oh God,
you Caddyshack. Who claimed that, Mr. Criscola?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you knew Criscola was going to claim Caddyshack. I know he's. I had to give him a favoritism. He's. You know, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. So, but yeah, I mean, golf is like, you know, you just. I mean, a lot of people don't take it up till they're old. My dad didn't start playing until he was in his 40s. So, I mean, you know, now he. You know, he plays a couple, you know, times a week, especially when he's right now while he's down in Florida for the winter. But yeah, I understand though how you cannot get, like, I can't watch it on TV. Fuck that. It's just like, like, you know, and the 18th hole, here they go.
Yeah, even when everybody went crazy, the, you know, the fake fans went crazy when they're in Tiger's heyday and people just watch for Tiger. But I didn't even sink in for that.
Just tap it in. Just tap it in. Just tap, tap, tap-a-roo. Andrew, what about you? What's a sport you just can't get into?
There were two. I really, because my friend liked it, I really tried to like hockey growing up. And, you know, like I watched in the year, like in the late 90s, you know, when ESPN had the TV contract, when like the Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche and Dominic Hasek, that was kind of like the – I mean, that's just one example of the kind of players that were around that I'm just mm-hmm. to give you context. Like, it was very fun. You know, I'm not an aficionado enough to tell you whether it was good hockey or bad hockey or, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm just not that into it. Like, I don't know it that well. But, like, I tried to like it, and I just, like, I don't know if it was when they had the lockout in 04 or 05. But I just kind of grew out of it, and I just couldn't find myself. The one thing I will say as an aside about hockey that I've been told to a man is that if you actually go to a hockey game,
it's way better, like, live.
Yeah.
It transforms, like, your appreciation of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the problem. You nailed it. It's way better live because
yeah.
the puck and moves so fast. The puck is hard to follow on TV. So. Mm-hmm.
And the other one is kind of like that, too. Jay, like with that, if you watched it live, because I've seen tennis tournaments live, they're fun. But if you watch it, you know, especially with the square and it's stationary and it's,
a little repetitive on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets annoying. But if you're watching it and you're seeing the angles, it's kind of fun. Like, my dad loved tennis. He loved Pete Sampras. He loved Roger Federer. And I tried so hard to watch it, you know, but I just could not get into tennis.
Like, yeah, it's too dominant on the one who has a serve.
It's like wrestling. It's like wrestling. If you have a deep understanding of it, it's really enjoyable. Yeah. But like the little intricacies of like why this guy is not hitting as hard on this backhand and such, like, yeah, it's really enjoyable. But for me, I just did not care. Like, I would get to a point by the first or second hour of a tennis match where I'm just like, why are they still playing? Can they just like call it off? You know, but yeah, hockey and tennis.
Oh yeah, I get what you say about hockey. I mean, I you know, John and I are both from the area, so we're actually both having to be Ranger fans. We share except for baseball.
Maybe it's a regional thing. Like I'm from the South, you know, and it's like I didn't watch a lot of hockey. You know.
Also, my dad.
I didn't see snow until I was 23 years old.
Wow. Well, my dad's a huge Ranger fan. Actually, had season tickets. I think before I was born, maybe. But he would always get. We had Giant tickets, season tickets, and a lot of times, you know, he would trade like one game of Giant tickets for like he'd get like six pairs of Ranger tickets. So, or he had his buddies like you know who worked on Wall Street. Like, hey, you know, they call him up, hey, Irv, you wanna go take your kid to the game or my sister, whatever. He's like, yeah. Sometimes I would get home from school. He's like, oh, come on, forget about dinner. Come on, we'll get a hot dog at the game. We're going Ranger game. I'm like, oh, cool. So it's just for me, it was just part of growing up. But recently, back in November, I took my girlfriend to her first hockey game, and I don't even know if she's ever watched a hockey game on TV. And she was so funny. She's like, I had my Mark Messier jersey. I borrowed my sister's Brian Leach jersey for her. We, you know, take the train and the subway down to the garden, and we walk in, and she goes, oh, look, everybody's wearing the same costumes we are. I'm like, costumes? Because she's in the Broadway shows. I'm like, Ellen, it's called a jersey, and you kind of that's what you do when you go to a game? So it was... It was fun though. She had a really good time, and I actually had pretty good seats right on the blue line. So, and the Rangers won. They beat who the hell did they play that night? Shit, now I can't remember. I think they played the I want to say the Panthers. Yeah. So, you know, like hockey. You know, for me, well, Jenny, I forgot about you. Jenny, is there a sport you just can't get into?
You forgot about me.
No, I could never forget about you.
Sure. Even this past weekend, while we were at a restaurant and there was a rugby game on, and I'm like, rugby, what are we doing? Why?
Yeah.
Why is this a thing that we're doing? Like, I don't get it. Y'all ever watched a rugby game?
I actually had friends in college when I went to the University of Hartford my first 2.5 years before I went to Iona. And there were some guys on my dorm that played. And actually, one roommate, he was on the team. He was the rookie master, which is kind of like the pledge master for a fraternity. Mm-hmm. And I had another friend that he started. I was a sophomore. He was a freshman. His name was Hakan. And he was from Turkey, but he grew up in England at a boarding school. So he had a British accent. And he was on the rugby team. Looks like this nice little chubby guy. But at a game, I'm standing next to the keg, and as he dishes the ball off. Guy tackles him. He doesn't have the ball. He looks up, sees the ref's not looking, turns around, and bam, one shot to the nose, breaks the guy's nose.
Damn.
Like, rugby is no joke. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'll never fucking play it. I'll be like Ross on that episode of Friends. But no, no fucking way. I mean, and those guys are sick when it comes to, like, their initiation rituals. Trust me. I got to go one night just to watch, and I was like, what? Nope. I'm never playing this game, ever.
What do you mean? What'd they do?
Well, they were like a club or sports, so they didn't follow the same rules, you know, like fraternities, like you can't drink. They would make these guys do things like shoot the boot, which is one guy would take off. Now, this is the 90s. They would take off with their Timberlands. They'd fill it with beer, right? And then it goes around, and they all spit in the boot.
Ugh.
And a lot of rugby players at the time do chaw, dip, and they were right in the thing. And there was, you know, they were in pairs, and they were taped together. Like almost like handcuffed, and one guy had a garbage bag handcuffed to his other hand, like taped to his other hand for, you know, urges contrary to swallowing, so to speak. So for when they drank so much, if they had to puke.
Was this the plot to 50 Shades of Grey?
kind of. It was 50 Shades of something coming out of these guys.
Like, he's like, he handcuffed him, and then he spit in his boot.
Urges contrary to swallowing.
I know, right?
Okay. You want to know where I got that? So
probably
I'm listening to Andy.
One of his girlfriends.
No,
I'm listening to Andy tell the story. I'm like, okay, just tell me where the balls come in.
Actually, so I'm sure you guys have watched like the hot dog eating contest, right?
Yeah. Like,
so there's actually something called Major League Eating. All right. It's a league. That's... They go around, they have all different, whenever they see, they say, this guy is the, you know, oyster eating champion.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like Joey Chestnut has like 8 different records. Yeah.
Yeah. So we, one of the networks I work for, we got a pilot in called I'm a Major League Eater, and it followed like 4 of the competitors. And a lot of times they would refer to puking like, oh my God, I'm feeling an urge contrary to swallowing. Cause I guess they don't like that term on the tour. And it always stuck in the back of my head. So actually this is the first time I've used it in a conversation.
The more popular one is a reversal of fortune. That's the one they use. Yeah. When something happens, Chestnut had a reversal of fortune.
But yeah, they back those rugby guys though, they were fucking crazy. But yeah,
it's like they're all these proper like British dudes, and then they get on the field and just like fucking murder each other.
Oh no, they're not.
In like confusing like ways.
On TV, they are. You know, in this, you see, you know, you go to colleges, it's just a bunch of guys that just like to hit each other. You know, they're all the guys that like didn't make the college football team but don't want to be in a fraternity. So like, how am I going to get into fights and it be legal? It's like also Australian rules football. I have no idea what the fuck is going on in that. There's like a goal. They can kick. They can whatever. But I was just going to say soccer for mine.
I would agree with soccer as well.
I mean, I see people like staring at the TV for like these World Cup matches. And I'm like, I just don't get it. And they just don't. A blowout is 3-0. Really? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. John, you like soccer?
The low scoring?
No, I don't like it. Hockey? Nah,
definitely not. I only tune in for like the World Cup, a couple games here and there.
Yeah, Viva Italia, right?
Yeah, of course.
What about you, Andrew? You ever watch soccer?
No. I very gladly call it commie kickball. No, I can't. My brother, my brother does not like sports, and my younger one, and he really likes soccer. Like, you know, I guess so, that sort of multicultural type of fever to it kind of lends to, you know, people that don't normally watch sports that like the World Cup. I don't know what really it is, but I've noticed that the World Cup in the United States these days kind of has the same effect that the Olympics have, where it sort of has that casual type of like a nuance where it's like, well, nothing else is on. I guess I'll watch soccer, yeah. You know, same thing with the Olympics, you know, I guess I'll watch this like luge.
Bobsled.
Yeah. This bobsled, this rowboating competition is getting kind of close.
Oh, that's yeah, once every 4 years. People give a fuck about curling.
That Sweden, Croatia match in curling.
And the World Cup's the same way. Now in every other place, but the United States, it's the biggest thing ever. But for the people in the United States, they're told all the time it's the biggest thing ever. And they're like, oh, I guess I'll check it out. And if the U.S. is good in it this year, and I don't even think they're in the World Cup for the next one. And where is it now? Is it in Qatar? Where is it at?
I have no idea.
Poor FIFA. And all their rich mobsters, they sold it off to Qatar. No, soccer just never really hit with me. It never really hit with me. You know, I will watch the World Cup, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean – we play it. I mean, it's an easy sport just to get your kid out there and do some exercise. You know, go chase the ball for a little while, okay? You know, and then have some orange slices. I don't know
what kind of kids you got. My kid played it when he was like 3, and it was like herding cats. Ridiculous.
It's up there with T-ball.
Yeah, seriously.
That was one of the funniest experiences I ever had the first time my daughter played T-ball. It's like they hit the ball, they all converge on it. Nobody knows what's going on.
Kids are dumb.
On that note,
seconded.
Yeah, I got one that's looking at colleges now, so got home. Anyway, so that's gonna wrap up our sports segment. It was a good one, guys. So those of you out there listening, we're gonna be talking a little pop culture when we come back. So stick around. We got Jennifer Smith, we got Andrew Reich, and we got Jay Arsenio D'Amato with me, Andy Addison, and we'll be right back because if you don't go, you'll never shine if you don't glow.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
Emotional consideration paid for by the following.
PlaySuite Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaySuite.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the PlaySuite Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTB in Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post-Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass, plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaySuiteNation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaySuiteNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaySuiteNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to episode 3 here of The Great Debate. I am Andy Atten, hanging out here with Jennifer Smith, Andrew Reach, and John Arsenio D'Amato. We're going to get back to the discussions, the debates, the arguments, whatever you have here in the pop culture section. But first, let's talk about PlaySuiteNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. The site's going through a little bit of behind-the-scenes work right now, so hasn't been updated in a bit, so stay tuned. It will be coming back very shortly. In the meantime, you can go over to our message board. That's at bigelow34.proboards.com. Lots of great topics and discussions going on over there. We have the 1996 year project, looking at the best in wrestling for that year. Also, the results of the greatest WWE tag team is being unveiled out there, and today actually 100 to 81 have been revealed. So if you participate in that project, or you're just interested in seeing, you know, what are the greatest tag teams who have ever been in the WWE, head on over there. Lots of other message boards for all kinds of subjects, all kinds of topics. Don't forget to go on Facebook, like all of our pages out there, especially The Great Debate. Participate in the polls every day, and just have a little fun, guys. So, we're going to move on to our pop culture segment. So, let's start with Jenny. Jenny, give me a show that should be remade. We see a lot of remakes these days. MacGyver, Magnum P.I. Give me a show that you like to see remade.
Well, not MacGyver or Magnum P.I. for sure. But something that I thought might be interesting, and since there seems to be a little bit of a resurgence of this sort of genre, I'm going to go with Bewitched.
Oh, that sounds good.
So, like, you know, they made that terrible movie with Nicole Kidman. But that's a good character. That's a fun concept that you can play with. And, like, they just had Sabrina the Teenage Witch rebooted on Netflix, which they went really dark with. But I think you can do something a little bit campier. with Bewitched, something more comedic.
Yeah, yeah. Bewitched has always been a fun show. Elizabeth Montgomery was great. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's been far enough removed. I mean, people complain about remakes, stuff like that. But, you know, it's like sometimes there's a whole generation in between. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are certain things you don't fucking touch. Like, you know, Johnny knows that, you know, we talked about that with The Godfather. Anybody ever tries to do that, their hands will get broken. But, like, you know, TV shows, you know, if a concept is good, it can work in different, you know, decades. You know, you just update it. Like, you know, I don't personally watch the Magnum P.I. remake. I watched the pilot. It was okay. I like a lot of the people involved. They just, you know, I just don't have the time for it. I watched Magnum P.I. growing up. I'm good. That's just my personal thing. But I think Bewitched would be a lot of fun because, yeah, these days everybody's going so dark with these. And didn't you do a Geek and Sassy all about Sabrina?
We did. And I love Sabrina. Yeah. I just think you can do something different.
Yeah, I mean, like Riverdale, I heard that's pretty damn dark, and it's about the Archie comics.
Yeah, we don't talk about Riverdale.
Oh, okay. Ixnay on the Iverdale, Ray. Yeah. Andrew, what do you think about a TV show that should be remade or like one of the ones I mentioned?
One that I've always, like, thought about, but the problem is it's so sacred to a lot of people from the 1990s, is Saved by the Bell. The problem with Saved by the Bell, it's the same problem that, well, I wouldn't even call it a problem because they got most of the cast to go back for Fuller House, is that you have to have the originals.
Yeah.
Like, and even if you can't get Screech because he's too busy, like, being in rehab or something. Like,
he's a porn star, right?
Yeah, or something. Yeah, like, whatever the hell he's doing now that's ruining his life. Like, you gotta have Lopez. Slater, mm-hmm. You gotta have Zach, you gotta have Kelly. I mean, Zach and Kelly are musts. Like, mm-hmm. You gotta have. Like, and that's kind of like, you know, you always hear these rumors, like, you know, there's those statistics that show you, like, the most popular shows on Netflix by, like, a country mile are The Office and Friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure that those people get roundabouts from people, like, every year. Hey, do you want to reboot The Office? Well, if you want to reboot The Office or Friends, you gotta have at least, like, most of the main cast. So, like, I don't know what you would call a remake. I mean, it's sort of in the same – it would have to be something in the same vein as, like, a Fuller House or mm-hmm. – I mean, you know, Sabrina was very, very different, obviously, because the tone was so different. I don't think they got that Wilford Brimley-looking guy showing up as the cat on the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. But you know, like, for Saved by the Bell, like, I know they did the new class, so some people would say, well, they did that already. But that was more of, like, an offshoot. This is something where they really, like, take their time with it. And, mm-hmm. like, I guess another example would be, remember when they did Girl Meets World on the Disney Channel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had Daniel Fischel and Ben Savage back. Something to that degree, maybe something with the Max. Like, yeah. You know, where you can kind of, like, turn it towards that way. Maybe – what was the name of that place at 90210? What was the name? The Peach Pit?
Peach Pit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Peach Pit and the Max is owned by the same guy. And the 90210 and Saved by the Bell people, like, kind of meet up later on.
Well, you can't do that because you've got...
Because of
yeah, Tiffany thieves. And Bertie.
Well, what if they were twins?
What? Ooh. Oh, my... I was just trying to think how you would incorporate Tori with, like, Jesse and Lisa since... Those and the other one.
Since we're going IP with, like, Archie Comics and DC Universe and everything's got to be melded together so that you can make as much money off it. Okay, well, let's just say that 90210 and and Bayside are the same place.
Wow.
You know. Well, did I just blow your mind?
The Kapowskis were a big family, right? As far as I can remember.
Yeah.
Like, Kelly had, like, a shit ton of brothers and sisters, right?
But long story short, you would have to get almost everybody that was, like, principal main cast people in the fold to do a remake of Saved by the Bell. And it would be so – you have to be so careful with who you bring in mm-hmm. for whatever the mere role is for that. Like, people are going to slaughter them if it sucks, you know. Well, you're ruining my childhood, you know.
Last time I saw Mr. Belding or something, he was in that that crappy Seth MacFarlane Western.
Yeah, he was also in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Yeah, and they gored him. He went to the Paul Heyman school of keeping in shape. So,
the other show that I kind of liked, but it lasted four seasons on NBC was called Ed, And it was and it was, it starred, I want to say, I think it was Tom Cavanaugh.
Yeah, I never really watched it, but Melissa McCarthy was on it too, right?
Yeah, that was the big break for Julie Bowen, who now everybody knows from Modern Family. But that was kind of, she was like the, you know, the girl next door type of one that, you know, because he, it's about, it's more of a, I think that can be remade because it's more of a universal story. I remember there was a show with Rachel Bilson that was very similar called Heart of Dixie.
Yes.
And it wasn't, it didn't really hit big, but the premise is the same, where, you know, you fall in hard times in the big city and you go back to your roots. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Maybe you could just do Ed again and you just have a different set of people and it works a little bit better. But, you know, it wasn't like Ed was like a failure. It lasted 4 years.
Yeah.
That's a great show. Yes, I agree with this. Make it happen.
John, what do you want to see get remade?
It's funny you said Ed. Mine is a Mr. Ed, modern version of the talking horse. Can you picture, Wilbur, you know, Ed dates one of the Kardashians. Wilbur, she could have had a small one. She's used to a lot bigger, Wilbur.
Oh, the asses, yeah, the asses Ed, are about the
Mr.
same size.
Ed's got to be like vulgar and dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got to be an asshole.
Oh, well, Wilbur, go fuck yourself. Hey.
No, but for real, I have the White Shadow. I don't know if it's a show from 78 to 81. It only lasted 3 seasons.
Yeah,
those unfamiliar, it was a basketball coach, an ex-NBA player. He gets hurt and his career is over, and he takes over as a head coach of an urban. I think it was a Chicago.
Yeah, that's
Urban High School.
That's a tremendous callback. Yeah, the other one I was thinking of in the '70s, Jay, when I was kind of going back, Welcome Back, Cotter. I think
yeah.
Like, but you know, people are so in love with the Travolta character, and who was the Afro one that was kind of with the
Juan Epstein? Yeah, Juan Epstein.
Yeah, like God, if you try to replace them, good luck.
In Horseshack in Washington.
it would be tough because Horseshack kind of had a learning disability, so.
Ooh, yeah, it'd be like Taxi. Like, Taxi could work today, but God, how do you replace that cast? Like, you can't do it. You know, that's the problem with these originals.
They should remake Learning the Ropes.
Shadow, it only lasted 3 seasons, so it's got everything now. Basketball's a lot more popular now, so a good sports show. You could show Studley actors playing basketball. You could make it a gritty version, like a Netflix version, where there's, you know, colorful language and cursing, and you could show, like, the star player getting a Hummer at halftime after the bleacher from a cheerleader. You know? So get the adult crowd in there. And I have Michael Rapaport playing the modern-day White Shadow. I don't know where...
Oh, that's good, actually.
I'm a big fan. I think he'd fit in there perfectly.
I was going to say, bring back Learning the Ropes. I don't know if you guys ever watched that.
Yeah. And also, they could have a special episode where the white player learns that you can't drop an N-bomb during the game. And, you know, it could all be a learning episode for everybody. So,
how about after-school?
Yeah, teaching moment, yeah.
What about after-school specials?
Oh, my God.
Or a very special episode.
I will never forget what the Ben Affleck on a steroid-infused tirade episode. The one on HBO where he like destroys his house, and then they show the real. Yeah, this is the real me, and I'm a bum still.
I was actually gonna go with shows like for some reason I had like helicopter shows like Airwolf or Riptide.
Car 54, where are you? Wait, that's not a helicopter. That's a
car. That's a cop show. Here you go, My Mother the Car. Come on.
Yeah.
What's Airwolf? Yeah, what's Airwolf?
Airwolf.
I mean, that sounds amazing.
It was like this high-tech helicopter that was Jan Michael Vincent and Ernest Borgnine, right? They were on the show, John, right? It was back in the early, mid-80s?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, Jan Michael Vincent.
Jan Michael Vincent, that's right. And they also had another competing show called Blue Thunder. And Blue Thunder had one weakness. Like a really small hole that if you shot a bullet in it, the thing blew up.
Like the fucking Death Star.
Yeah, it was like the fucking Death Star. And then there was Riptide, which was like these two brothers that lived in, I think, San Diego. And they had this really funky looking helicopter. It was like one of those long, thin ones. So, I don't know. Did you guys hear, though, that they're talking about possibly remaking Lost?
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about that. Because it hasn't been that long.
Well, Well, if they stick the ending, everyone will be happy.
I think they want to remake it just to fix the ending.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And forget about Nikki and Paolo. That the episode they killed them off in was fucking awesome, though. I got to say. They get them paralyzed with them spiders, and then they bury them alive.
I love Lost, and I don't hate the ending like a lot of people do. So I
didn't hate it either.
And I don't know. Because there's some real people that, like, some of the cast I feel like is irreplaceable, but some of them are. Yeah. So, like, what do? Like, just start the fuck over? I don't know.
Wow. Look at this. Breaking news here, courtesy of Mr. D'Amato here, that Bewitched reboot may be coming. See?
Oh, really?
From your lips to God's ears,
Jim. Oh, nice.
Oh, no reboot, sorry.
He's like LeVar Ball. He spoke it into an existence.
I actually got shit canned at the...
I'm trying to read it quickly.
It wasn't a go. Yeah, it wasn't a go.
I'm sure it'll go. It'll go at some point, I think. These things will come back.
Well, why don't they just do I Dream a Genie instead?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll work.
Yeah.
I'm about to have a live action.
I heard Will Smith is available.
Right, yeah.
Who could play Genie? Who will play Genie?
I don't know. Who's got, like, the best, like, you know, midsection, belly button, you know, kind of
Ariana Grande.
Oh, God, no.
She got the ponytail.
My daughter wants to go see her in concert. I'm trying to, like, say, oh, honey, it's kind of sold out. Oh, it's a school night. Oh, I'm trying to think of any excuse. But I think I'm going to lose that one.
She's kind of like my guilty pleasure, so.
Oh, is she?
Yep.
What was I going to say? How about BJ and the Bear? That's on.
What the hell is that?
You guys don't know BJ and the Bear?
Wolf and Cub?
A man is monkey driving a truck? That's a concept I can't get enough of.
Can't get enough of.
You guys saw Mallrats? Come on.
Why don't we just do Manimal, too?
Oh, my God. I loved Manimal when I was a kid.
Did they remake Quantum Leap yet?
They should.
That and Sliders.
Never got into that because I had Jerry O'Connell thing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of his. I think he's kind of a douche. Either that or it's just that the characters he plays.
You're just jealous because he married Rebecca Romijn.
Well, it's true. Yeah, you know, come on. Who else doesn't watch the X-Men movies and says, oh. All right. We'll stick with you, Andrew. What's a TV series you'll binge over and over and over?
Friday Night Lights.
Really?
I will watch every episode except for season 2 because that's the bad one. But
I've actually never seen it.
It's when you look on face value, when you look at it, you would think it's just like a kind of a teen drama it's about a high school that's centralized about the football team, but it has a lot of interweaving parts and the performances are fantastic. You see a lot of guys that wound up doing great things later, like Jesse Plemons and Taylor Kitsch. I'm trying to remember a few of the other people. Kyle Chandler is Coach Taylor. Connie Britton is his wife. It's just a really great show. Kind of touches on real life type of scenarios.
Yeah, you've echoed. I think Friday Night Lights has been mentioned on at least more than two other episodes.
One where when I was talking about remakes, I do not want that to be remade because it cannot be touched. I could watch Seinfeld forever. I like The Office. I like Parks and Recreation more than The Office, though. Mm-hmm. I can watch every episode of Parks and Recreation without missing a beat.
Yep.
It's a binge. Like, it's hard to – I'm trying to figure out – Mad Men. Mad Men is phenomenal.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. That's one where if, like – I was talking about tennis, where the intricacies of it. Mad Men's a show where if you really get deep into it, it is so enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
All the little things that happen, even the smallest stuff, makes a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, The Office is on my, you know, like I talk about on the show sometimes about your Shameless, like movies you should have seen. My TV Shameless is huge. The Office is on there. Mad Men's on there. Breaking Bad's on there. Game of Thrones. I'm like, so like, it, you know, for me, it's like I come home, you know, I put stuff on that like I'm brainless because I work in TV. So it's like I don't really want to watch anything a lot of nights.
Well, the problem is in TV, there's not only that there's a lot of good stuff. It's it's in so many different places.
Yeah.
Like, you almost – it's almost like you have to choose a hill to die on. Like, when I tell people I don't – I've never seen The Sopranos, which is true. Like, it's not like I did it in spite. It's just that I never got around to it.
It's kind of, like, daunting. Like I want to watch Game of Thrones, but I'm like, I'm so
I have many friends who have not seen Breaking Bad because they're just afraid that they know once they get into it, they've got to finish it. You know, that happened with me with The Wire. Thank God I did it when my daughter was born, which took a week. So I got about the first three seasons, like, pretty easily of The Wire, and then I finished it off not too long after that. But yeah, like, you got to have like incredible investment for some of these series, especially like I just talked about Seinfeld. Another show I absolutely love was Scrubs.
Oh yes, that was on my list.
Scrubs lasted 8 seasons, 23 episodes for 8 seasons. That's a lot of fucking television. You know, so you got to be really like bought in on whatever show it is. Like, that's why I kind of enjoy the limited series. Like, I like Big Little Lies. I like Homecoming. Like, I like those ones that kind of like bing, bang, boom, and they're done. You know?
Like, the Brits got it right. They do that.
Yeah.
They do that all the time.
The Americans sort of got it right for a while with the Thornbirds and what was the other ones? That Roots. Like, there was some of those big event type of miniseries that were sort of like gravitating back to that. But you got to have the right star power to make it work.
Yeah, John, what do you like to binge?
I'm gonna pick up Mr. Risha's not watching The Sopranos, and I'll watch it 2 and 3 extra times for him to see what he's missing. I can never get sick of it, and I always get sucked in when they have the anniversaries and the marathons, and whatnot.
Oh yeah,
and,
recently, yeah.
Even though people talk about, you know, unfortunately the last episode wasn't the best and it gets crapped on, but the last season was probably the best. I'm not too much into like ranking, like a show is a great show. It is what it is. They're, you know, they're all great, you know, between the seasons, but that last season was really tremendous. And I always get sucked in, and even though episodes I've seen 5-6 times, there's always like a little bit of dialogue or something that like I always catch something new every time. Tremendous.
Yeah, I got into The Sopranos probably like 4 seasons in. I think I watched I had to watch the first couple of seasons on DVD because they weren't really streaming back then. But yeah, to echo what Andrew said too about, you know, when you have your kids and you're just up at all hours, that's like the best. That one thing that you can accomplish is watching a shit ton of TV.
Oh, the midnight run. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's when I watched a whole season of Mad Men doing it that way.
Yeah, I watched. I think I watched a whole season of Alias because my kids would kept me up.
Even shows you absolutely love, like I'll tell you one: the final season of The Americans, which is a show about Russian spies with Kerry Russell and Matthew Reese. Great show on FX. It just ended. I barely saw the final season. It's still on my DVR. Like it's just. Even if you really, really adore a show, it's really, really hard. Unless you're just so like numbingly in love with it that you have to watch it. Like I'm kind of in that point now with The Good Place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that show.
There's a point for everybody with a show, whether it was when you were younger, or especially now today with television collections and streaming, where. You have to watch it and you have to find out about it as soon as, like, you fall in love with it and you have to know what happens.
Well,
you know?
I mean, The Good Place, after that first season with the twist at the end of the first season, it's kind of like, you know, also a lot of times, like with shows, you don't want to get spoiled. Mm-hmm. Like I watched The Walking Dead, like tonight we had a little bit of a break for a minute to get before we record. So I watched last night's Walking Dead because it's like, you have got to avoid social media if you don't want to get spoiled with a lot of this stuff. I mean, fucking Hollywood Reporter, I subscribe to their emails, and it's like, ooh, Walking Dead, you know, this minute is over. Walking Dead describes that character death. I'm like, who the fuck? I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, and the streaming model is throw it all out at once. Now, I know Hulu experimented a couple of times with shit. I don't know if they still do it, where some shows, they tote it out week after week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Netflix, uh-uh. You're going to get the whole thing. And trust me, there's a diehard who's probably seen every episode before you thought you saw every episode.
Yeah.
So you're not – I mean it's almost like – it almost becomes a race. Like, gimme, faster. Like, and everybody's trying to get to the end, you know. And I don't even really know where we're going with this one, but just basically, like, the whole model has changed where, mm-hmm. you know, you just have to choose what you want to watch and how much of it you want to watch.
Yeah. I'm so behind on, like, the Marvel series. Like, I want to catch up on it so bad, but it's just like, it's such an investment in, like, mm-hmm. your time. Jenny, what about you? What's a shows, series you like to binge?
All right. Well, I seriously doubt that you guys have watched this show, but it's an animated show called Futurama, and it is my number one all-time greatest show of all time because it's from the creator of The Simpsons, mm-hmm. But it's very – it's different. It's like a nerdy sci-fi version.
And it's also birthed half the memes you see on the internet.
Yes.
Yes. Take my money.
I've never sat and watched it, but I know of it.
It's like – I can't even talk about it really because it's just my thing. I can put on any single episode, all the jokes I still laugh at, no matter how many times I've seen the episode. It's just my son knows like almost every episode. Like it's just it's a whole thing. Doctor Who is like that too. Not the old Doctor Who, but New Who. Tons of great stories there.
Now when you say New Who, there's let's say that three times fast.
Yeah. Is it on Hulu?
We're kind of going to, you got Christopher Eccleston, you got Matt Smith, you got the guy who yelled at everybody at In the Loop. Yeah. Now you got the woman, like mm-hmm. Jodie Whittaker. Like, which one are you talking about?
Well, my doctor is David Tennant. And okay. So he was the 10th doctor.
He's also Jessica Jones, yeah.
Right, yeah. Oh, he was the 10th doctor. And he's how I got into it. And then I went back to watch the 9th doctor on. But Matt Smith is a tremendous doctor as well. And he has my most favorite Doctor Who episode of all time. People get like intimidated with the Who stuff, and I get it. But like if you can just skip like the first 8 doctors and start with the 9th doctors, then you're good.
All right.
The only thing I figured out about Doctor Who is that British people are absolutely obsessed with Christmas.
Yes.
I thought Americans were obsessed with Christmas. Then I watched British people have Christmas specials and Christmas songs. I'm like, Jesus Christ, these people love Christmas more than us. You know?
Yeah, they will do like a whole season of Doctor Who and then like a special Christmas episode mm-hmm. just so they can Christmas it up.
Yes.
I was going to say 2.5 Men is one of those I like to binge because it's on like one of those things like that, like when TBS or somebody gets a show for the first time, they just play the shit out of it. You have that way with like Big Bang Theory right now, or like it's amazing. Like I see like TV Land sometimes they promo Goldberg episodes airing at 2 a.m. Who the fuck promos 2 a.m. shows? That's like unheard of in the industry. Scrubs, you stole from me. Friends. You know, for me, it just seems like for the most part that comedies and sitcoms are so much easier to binge than you know, old dramas.
It's quick-witted.
Yeah.
Right. You
know, bing, bang, boom. Especially 90s comedies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the thing about Seinfeld that makes it so great is it's so self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you literally get the laugh out within about 25 minutes and it's over.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of, like, you know, callbacks and thorough lines, but there's no
very
real
small. Yeah,
it's very small. There's very few carry over through. I'll tell you, the other day before I had to go into work late last Tuesday, and I was just flipping channels and I caught the series finale of Seinfeld, and just all the callbacks, all the characters, they pretty much had every guest star that was a prominence show up in that episode. And it was like, you know, just like we were talking about Lost earlier, you know, or The Sopranos, like series finales are very, very hard. Very hard to pull off. I mean, I think the greatest one is Newhart. I don't know if you guys watched Newhart at all.
Yes, yes, very aware of that one.
Where, you know, he gets hit in the head, he falls asleep in Newhart, and he wakes up in the Bob Newhart show.
Yes.
Apparently they snuck Suzanne Pleshette in there, like under like a blanket. So the studio audience had no idea that it was her. So when they hear her voice and then the lights go on, the place, that's a legit reaction.
Well, the funny thing is when I grew up watching Nick at Night, mm-hmm. I didn't even know there was a show called Newhart. So for me, Newhart kind of was a dream. So so I'm watching it. I'm like, yeah, that's the Bob Newhart show. And I'm like, and then I'm watching these people in a cabin, and I'm like, who the hell are these people?
It was all just a dream.
Yes, it was. Just like Dallas.
They remade that.
Oh, yeah. And then Larry Hagman actually died, and they had to end it.
Does anybody watch that Dynasty remake they do nowadays?
No.
It's like, no, no. So let's move on to movies. Andrew, talking about the Universal Dark Universe. Now, they've had one entry, and they kind of like announced it. It's like that scene in Bull Durham. I want to announce.
They've had more than one, but the first one was like, it was almost like an issue zero.
Yeah.
It was like, it was almost like a litmus test of like, well, I guess we're going to interconnect them so that it makes it seem like we actually knew what we were talking about. It was called Young Frankenstein. who was in it? Help me out. Does anyone know?
Yahoo Serious?
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Not Young Frankenstein. Dracula Untold. Who was in that?
Oh, yeah. That was like Stuart Townsend or something?
Luke Evans.
Oh, Luke Evans, yeah.
Yeah, so what happened is they had that one.
So it's like the MCU's Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, they lobbed it in at the end. They're like, oh yeah, they're all interconnected, so you need to pay close attention to like continuity stuff. Well, dude, I watched The Mummy. I tried to watch The Mummy.
I really appreciate that.
If there's any continuity in it, I'd love to know where the hell it was. You know, the only thing I know is that if I hear Russell Crowe having exposition about a universe, I need to get the fuck out of this universe.
Well, the fact that they called it the Dark Universe.
I saw this with Man of Steel, and now with The Mummy, you know, playing Jekyll and Hyde, you know.
Yeah. Well, when you see the thing come around, it says Dark Universe. It's like you named your own thing, and you set yourself. I mean, the casting that they had in the mind, like Tom Cruise is not right for The Mummy. But like Angelina Jolie as Bride of Frankenstein, and I think Johnny Depp as the Invisible Man, and what's his face?
There was Javier Bardem.
Yes, yeah, he was supposed to be Frankenstein.
There was another one that they tried to rope into it. You already mentioned Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. I want to say Benicio del Toro. You see,
yes,
the funny
Benicio del Toro is the Wolfman.
Yeah, but the funny thing is Benicio del Toro did the Wolfman. I want to say.
Yeah.
Like about a decade ago, you know, so, you know, like what it is just that Universal just keeps getting told, you know, you can't do what Marvel does. Well, Universal's sitting there saying, well, we have these monster franchises and they're just sitting here in the vault. Why can't we do something that? Why can't we reignite that? So they take a movie, The Mummy. I don't know how they got Tom Cruise to do this thing. But they did.
They said Chris McQuarrie can write it. They said.
Well, McQuarrie was like the script doctor. It was directed by Akiva Goldsman, who I'm trying to have the right words for him. But I do know for the fact that he did direct a movie called The Sin Eater, which is like one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life, with Heath Ledger. But yeah, so I knew my expectations were low. But yeah. McQuarrie, he brought in McQuarrie from the Mission Impossible movies to try to save it with the script, but it was too late. Just a really, really bad movie. I felt bad for Annabelle Wallace because this was probably her big break as an actress, and also Sylvia Boutella, who some people might remember from Kingsman, the first Kingsman movie. She plays the mummy in this movie. It's kind of that same thing that's going on with most things where they're doing a lot of what's the best word to say it? Gender bending, where you know you kind of like turn it on its ear, and you have either the protagonist or the antagonist be like a strong female character. So you're trying to do something here with the mummy being a female, but you know Sylvia Boutella doesn't speak great English, and you know she doesn't really speak at all in this movie. She doesn't exude a lot of confidence. And the plot is so bland. And it's trying to set up all these different things. You know, Batman Superman, to me, had the same exact problem.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to get the cart ahead of the horse. Like, they're like, oh, we need to, like, push out our intellectual properties. We got to get all this stuff out there so that we could get people excited about it. It's like, yeah, but the first thing you need to do is get people excited about what they're actually watching.
Yeah.
You know, not what they might be watching later. You know, there was nothing organic about the Dark Universe. That was the biggest problem. You can't – if the first movie you have is a non-starter, it kills everything else.
Yeah. Well, Jake Johnson was doing his best Griffin Dunne from American Werewolf in London impression, where he was basically, you know, the dead guy who talks to mm-hmm. the main character the whole time. Mm-hmm. I mean, Annabelle Wallace, she did a good job in the movie, and she was actually in Tag. I don't know if you guys saw Tag that came out this past summer.
No.
I mean, I only saw The Mummy and Tag because I had Movie Pass. Now I have Cinemia, but so I wasn't really paying for movies. It was like, oh yeah, I'm going to movie, got nothing else to do tonight. And she was good in that movie. I mean, this, she's fine. I mean, Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of was like ridiculous, so to speak. I mean, but yeah, it was just like,
and they had like a nickname for his Batcave. What, I don't even remember what it was called. It was some weird name for like his laboratory of monsters. It's like they're just trying to like set it all up, and it's mm-hmm. like, dude, like really? Like, now I will say this, if they were actually able to get some of those other stars to be intersected into mm-hmm. it, kind of like what they did with Fantastic Beasts, mm-hmm. that's different. That's something where people might have actually been intrigued. But at the end of the day, it was just Tom Cruise and a bunch of other guys in a movie that people had already seen with Brendan Fraser in it.
Yeah.
So,
and the Brendan Fraser ones were actually really good.
Yeah, they're better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one actually had Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
You know? So.
It's really sad because there are some awesome ideas here. You know, there are awesome classic movies that I think would be really great if they could get their shit together. It does remind me a lot of what the WB is trying to do or not trying to do. Mm-hmm. With not, they just have all this content that's really great and there's so much potential, but they just don't know how to put it together correctly. And it's sad because these are great stories and I want to see them.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the big question you want to ask is like, is the Dark Universe dead? The answer is yes and no. Because the thing is like, if you're trying to talk about it as like, was the Mummy able to get it like kickstarted into something that people would actually be wanting to see? Well, of course not, because it was a flop. Mm-hmm. But let's flip that and compare that to like Batman versus Superman and Justice League. You know, both of those movies did not really hit the mark. Now they did pretty well commercially, but at the end of the day, critically they were failures, and commercially Justice League, maybe Jennifer's a better expert on this. I would probably say commercially Justice League was a failure too.
Mm-hmm.
It's close. Batman versus Superman did very, very well. So did Man of Steel, you know, but critically just did not hit the right notes. However, Wonder Woman did very, very well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and also Wonder Woman is also in Batman versus Superman, and also Wonder Woman is in Justice League. What I'm trying to say is, like, just because The Mummy didn't work doesn't mean that something else from the same intellectual property can't work. It just has to be the right people at the right place at the right time.
Well, yeah.
You can't microwave it, though.
Yeah.
It has to have the right people.
Well, the DCEU looks like it's kind of course corrected because they stopped taking him so seriously. You know, Zack Snyder's out. You know, unfortunately, you know, he was out for a bad tragedy. But, you know, Aquaman was light and airy. I mean, they just announced a spinoff about the Trench from what I heard in Hollywood Reporter recently. But, you know, they just got to learn. You can't, like you said, put the cart before the horse. You got to start, you know, you can't put like the ceiling, the roof on a house before you put the bottom floor.
Yeah, but say they like do a like an Invisible Man. Maybe yeah. the Invisible mm-hmm. Man will work.
Yeah.
You know, like it just depends on who the screenwriter is, and if you get a pretty decent director who, you know, who just has a decent vision of it. You know, like when I heard about Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, this is not gonna work. You know,
yeah.
And right. I like James Gunn. Like I watched the movie Super and I watched the movie Slither and mm-hmm. I liked how weird he was. And I thought that would be really interesting. I didn't think that he would turn Guardians of the Galaxy into like one of the best superhero movies of the last 25 years,
mm-hmm.
but he did.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, like when we saw the first Iron Man, there was no indication that there was going to be an MCU. It's just, you know, you watch that post credit scene. You know, there's Sam Jackson, there's Nick Fury saying there's a whole bigger picture going on here.
And I'm going to tell you the truth with Kevin Feige. I don't think he did either.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of that stuff with Fury and all the intersecting at the end was something that they kind of threw at the end because they realized that they actually had some buzz, you know, because I don't want to say Marvel was down on its like its back with their movies. But, you know, Spider-Man 3 left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth.
That's, you know,
so to say the least.
That was a pile of haircuts.
But what it is like I don't think Iron Man was like the end all be all, like, oh, this is the beginning of a new era. Like, it just felt more like, okay, we're kind of you can have a superhero movie and have a good movie at the same time. Mm-hmm, you know, the thing that happened with the WB Warner Brothers is that Dark Knight was the kind of movie that was so great that you couldn't really tail it off of something else. Mm-hmm. Like, it was almost like a masterpiece within itself. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, The Godfather Part 3 is not great. You know, you were talking about The Godfather. The Godfather Part 3 is not great. So, and you know, in Batman, what was the one after that one? The Dark Knight Rises? Like, yes. Dark Knight Rises is not great. It was good.
I like that movie.
It's okay.
But what happens is, you know, the Man of Steel is sort of a reiteration of that. And then Batman Superman is sort of a reiteration of what they did in Man of Steel. And then once you start to kind of like whittle it down to what it is, like, there's a point where it's like, you got to do something original. You got to do something. Like, that's the thing I did not like at all about Suicide Squad. Like, there was no originality in it.
No.
It just felt like a carbon copy of Guardians of the freaking Galaxy.
Yeah, and I'm also so sick of the giant light in the sky kind of thing in every damn fucking movie, it seemed like.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite interested to see what James Gunn does with the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I think they're probably only bringing back Harley Quinn and Deadshot in that movie, thank God. But, yeah, so let's move on. Andrew, we'll start with you. Give me an actor or actress that's been MIA from TV or movies for a long time that you would like to see return.
Okay, I'll give you two.
All right.
I think it's time for the Pamela Anderson reclamation project.
barbed wire, the next generation.
Now listen, for those who watch Barbed Wire, I don't think Pamela Anderson is going to win an Oscar in a best supporting role for something that she does. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, there might be a situation because, you know, Quentin Tarantino likes to do this. Like, he did this with Robert Forrester, and he did this with I think Kevin Smith did this with that guy. Oh, Jesus Christ, he died. What was his name? He was in the movie Red State and Tusk. He was like an old Michael Parks was his name, maybe. Yeah. Like, older grizzled actors that they loved that had fallen out of the limelight, mm-hmm. and they sort of reel them back in, you know? Mm-hmm. And I got a feeling with Pam Anderson, like, we can pull this off. Like, I don't know what kind of role it would be. It would probably have to be something with prostitution or like, you know, beach, you know, like drug induced beachheads or something, just something kind of to that degree, maybe a television limited series or something. But I feel like we can do something with this, you know, as long as she's got her head on straight and, you know, I just feel like that could work. I'll tell you one more.
Okay.
He did a self-imposed retirement, I want to say like in the early 2000s. But I'll tell you this, just because of his filmography and just the fact that he's just got tremendous pedigree, if Gene Hackman came back and did a limited series, I would be all over that. And I think a lot of people would, just based off of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
He has not done a movie or a television show in, I want to say, about 15 years.
Yeah, I don't remember his last one he did. I mean – you know,
he did narrations, I believe, for Lowe's or Home Depot. But and he wrote novels. He writes novels.
I would love to see him do a comedic role, like, you know, him as Lex Luthor, or when he was in The Birdcage, where he was like one of the straight men.
Oh, the Royal Tenenbaums. He's hilarious. Yeah.
Well, the Pam Anderson thing kind of reminds me of how Dice has been doing. You know, Dice, you know, hasn't done anything, and then he shows up in Blue Jasmine. And then he just played, you know, Lady Gaga's father in The Star Is Born.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good return. Like, you never think Dice could pull off like an acting role. And then,
and you never know until they try it. But the other thing too is that, you know, it's like that Sunset Boulevard type of like, I'm ready for my close up. Like, there's always that feeling like this is your last shot. Mm-hmm. Like, and I want something to happen with her where it's like, okay, I mean, we can make this work, but you got to really want it, you know.
We'll write a big check for PETA. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, John, give me an actor actress you'd like to see come back.
Breaking news: Pam Anderson just signed for the sequel to that movie with Tommy Lee. They just signed on for the sequel 20 years later.
It won't get the same box office receipt.
It's been a long time coming.
Not like that one.
Wow. But mine is he starred in Friday, Money Talks, and the Rush Hour series, Chris Tucker. Kind of when MIA, after the first Friday, he didn't sign up for the sequel. He kind of had some, either got religion or wanted to be more taken as a serious actor and didn't want to be portrayed as a pothead or or whatever. Then he wasn't a Silver Linings Playbook as a
role. Yeah, he was good in that. Role. He was like his sponsor or something. Yeah.
Yeah, but I would love to just see a comedy with a modern day Chris Tucker, or if they could get the gang back together for one last Friday and bring Smokey back, that would be tremendous. Because nowadays weed is pretty much legal, so he doesn't have.
We have Big Perm, Big Worm, whatever the hell's name is.
Yeah,
I love Faison Love. I'm sorry, he's one of my favorite comedians. I see him in anything, like The Replacements. The great Keanu Reeves football movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Is that your ride?" Yeah, bam, bam, bam. He starts shooting up the guys. He's like, "You son of a bitch! Oh, I'm gonna shoot that car more." But yeah,
but isn't Chris Tucker a preacher now?
Yeah, he kind of got religion. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he still does stand up. But yeah,
he looks like he ate Chris Tucker.
This puff puff give you fuck up the rotation. Jenny, what about you? While you're cracking up.
Okay. So this guy needs to come. I know he left Hollywood like willingly, but I want to see Rick Moranis.
Oh, you stole it, Jenny.
Oh, sorry.
Love you, girl.
Because like, how great is he in every single thing that he's ever been in? I mean, just like so weird and funny and quirky and different. And, you know, I think that you could, I don't even know how old he is now, but I think you could give him something really 60s. Fun to do as an older guy and he would just nail it. You know, I just think he's just like so natural and like so relatable and wonderful. I would just love to see him back. And then this one is a little bit controversial, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how y'all feel about Amanda Bynes or if you have watched any of her movies.
Well, she's kind of trying to get back in the media campaign where she's basically giving testimonials about her drug addiction. So,
well,
she's trying.
Yeah, she was a girl with so much potential. And then, you know,
yeah,
like a lot of them, she just went the wrong way.
Yeah, I always thought she was really funny, and I never felt like she got to like Lindsay Lohan sort of lows. So I always felt like she could, she could do it. You know, I was like rooting for her. And the last thing I saw her in, I think, was like Easy A, this great movie with Emma Stone. And
yeah, really good.
She nailed it. She was like really great, and you know, I think she's. Like at a good age, like she's not totally aged out of some of the younger roles, but she's definitely not super young anymore.
Well, she can come back as somebody's like mom.
Yeah.
And kind of reinvent herself that way.
Like a sitcom for sure.
Yeah. Something like that.
She would be really good in that. And then like Edward Norton has always been one of my faves, and I know he's done like some things here and there. But he hasn't really had anything huge lately, and I would really like to see him in something.
Yeah. The problem with Ed Norton is that he's very hit and miss. Like, it's hard. It's hard to explain, because I loved Edward Norton when he – because you talk about a guy who was on a roll. Mm-hmm. Ed Norton was on a roll when he came out. He did Primal Fear, and then he did Fight Club, American History X. It's like bing, bang. Like, he was like – he was a stud. Like he was, everybody wanted Edward Norton. Everybody wanted peace. Then it kind of got. Then he started to have. There was all the riffraff about him being not being easy to work with, and and then he started just mixing up weird things like being in comedy sometimes. Mm-hmm. He was a supporting character, I think, in the one of the Bourne movies. Like he just kind of pops up all of a sudden, you know, which I don't like when it comes to, you know, I don't like the David Strathairn type of actor where it's like, oh, you just happen to be in it, you know? Like yeah, I love Edward Norton. That I like that. I second that one.
He's super talented and like I think he needs like a big thing, you know, like a totally like leading role deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to see Rick Moranis come back. Maybe like even if it's just a cameo in the Jason Reitman.
They got to put him in.
That's what I was about to say. They're redoing Ghostbusters, so that's not out of the way.
Gozer.
He was Vince Clothar, right? Keymaster of Gozer.
I'm the keymaster. Are you the gatekeeper? Mm-hmm.
Who does your taxes? Yeah, I can't. Again, another laugh in theater. Not going to spoil who picked that one, but that's going to be a fun one. All right. Yeah, cool. Jenny stole my answer. So
sorry. I'm not sorry.
No, you're not sorry, but that's okay. You know I love you.
I have to make up for all my abysmal sports section here. So.
No.
She stole Amanda Bynes from you? That
was I still can't get over that. Ugh. You know, I can't, she's the man with Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
That was actually a funny movie.
She's funny. I like
that. Easy A. Oh, I think the Dice Man says that's a girl that gives up the anal. I call him an Easy A. Oh.
Ain't nothing easy about anal, friend.
Right. All right. Yes. No. Not yet.
I was a gentleman for an hour and 40 minutes and 15 seconds. Yeah.
I thought we were going to pick up where Talking Pop left off, I guess.
That was my limit. Hour 44 is my limit.
Hey, you got to remember, it's not me, Dr. G, and Mr. Criscolo here, you know? Yeah, we have a lot of fun over there.
It was in a Dice Man character, wasn't it?
Hey,
ego.
We still got to find those Fort Failing copies, though, I'll tell you. All right, John, since you're a big concert guy, you know, what's a musical act that you've never seen live but always wanted to?
Well, hopefully they stay alive so I can get to them this summer. The Rolling Stones doing their 75th anniversary tour and I'm finally going to get to them. I usually abhor stadium shows, but that's the only place they're playing, so I have to go to MetLife. I can't stand the stadium shows. You don't get the same it's just too crowded. You don't get the same sound and stuff, but I have to. And I'll knock them off the bucket list. Hopefully they stay alive until June.
Yeah? You got anybody else on your list?
Well, George Michael passed, so I can't catch him. I was lucky to see Prince way back in the 80s. I think I got everybody covered.
Cool. Andrew, what about you?
Man, you know, the thing about concerts is as I've gotten older, I've wanted to do more like going to concerts, whereas forever I fought against it because I'm not what you call a people person. You know? Like as in I don't like people. But no. What it is like I'm not a spectator guy. Like I'm not the guy who gets like super jealous when somebody's going to like a concert or goes to a game and I'm not there. But as I've gotten older, I've realized, you know, if I get an opportunity to watch Boys to Men, which I was able to do like last year, like I'm gonna give it a shot. Like I'll listen to them. The problem is like from the acts that you enjoy. Unless you're like super contemporary, and which makes you really weird because that means that you like listen to Cardi B and shit. Ugh. That like you're never gonna be able to really catch unless it's like a timeless artist. Like you're never gonna really catch them in their prime unless you're there like from the infancy. So the only ones that I would be able, the only one I would think of that I would really enjoy would be those ones that you can mimic. Mm-hmm. Like almost like in a Coachella type of way. I would love to go to one of those like Michael Jackson reenactment type of concerts, because like I really like when they do the impersonations. I really like I haven't been to one. I'd love to go to one because I loved Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. That was my dude. So that's one that I would probably say, one of those Michael Jackson impersonation concerts. Yeah, very low bar.
Yeah. I went to a Journey show years ago, and it was without Steve Perry. It was with Steve O'Derry or whatever. And it was fine. You close your eyes. It was like Steve Perry.
Were they midgets?
No. But yeah, John Waite and Peter Frampton opened actually for that show. Jenny, give us somebody you'd like to see in concert.
Well, I had a bunch of these, but I think number one would be Fleetwood Mac.
Oh.
I think that they have like tons of hits. I think they still sound good. Stevie Nicks is a fucking icon. And I feel like one of them might die soon. So I probably need to get on that. I think they might be coming around here soon anyway. Another one that's kind of weird, and I would only really want to do this just like so I could like smoke pot in the crowd, and that would be Jack Johnson. Because he's just like mellow and like chill, and nobody's like going to be raging at his concert. You know, it's just going to be like, you know, everybody passing the weed and getting stoned and like listening to Jack Johnson. So.
Oh, okay. And you just saw Metallica, right? Was that the first time you saw them?
I did. That was the first time I saw them. And that was not what I expected. It was great. But they're definitely older. And I wondered what it would be like to see them in their prime, kind of like what Andrew was talking about. You know, it's different. It's not the Metallica that I fell in love with. It's Metallica light is what I called it. I mean, they were like 2-year-olds at this rock concert. So it's just like, it was great. And like, they sounded good. And it just, I don't know. It wasn't.
Yeah. I understand that. Like, I've been to probably, I don't know, between 10 and 20 concerts in my life. I'm not a big concert goer myself. So, yeah, I would love to see Metallica. I have, like, you know, bands like Van Halen, Def Leppard, Whitesnake. I was a huge Whitesnake fan back when I was about, like, 14 years old. Like, freshman, sophomore year of high school. Oh, God. That was the shit. But like Van Halen, like it was like didn't they do a tour? Wasn't it called like When Worlds Collide, John? Like when wasn't it like Sammy and David? Right? Did they do something like that?
The last one we saw was Scott up in your neck of the woods. It was Dave came back, but that one was kind of a disaster, and they had to cut that one short. That was about 10 years ago. Yeah. But the rumor is they're getting it back, but. No, but the last time we saw was Scott and G, who was up in your neck of the woods in Connecticut, and David was back, and he was in David was in prime form.
Oh, okay. What was up at the Mohegan Sun?
No, that outdoor joint.
Oh, the Meadows. That's where I saw that Journey concert. Yeah. I saw the Bare Naked Ladies there too once, years and years ago. Many, many moons. They're a fun show, the Bare Naked Ladies. They just have a goofy fucking time with them. They do their songs. And then they do this, like, one spot where they do all covers. All of a sudden, like, they broke out, like, Living La Vida Loca. So it was kind of fun. So, cool. Yeah, I hope you enjoy the Stone show, Jay. You know, get off that bucket list. How many concerts do you think you've seen in your life?
Too many. It's in the hundreds.
Yeah. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, right. And I'm checking out Fleetwood Mac next month, Jenny.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've seen them before, I've seen them before.
How are they?
Tremendous. I saw him before with Lindsey Buchan. Unfortunately, he's no longer with them. So.
Right.
But Steve is still good. The only thing is she tells he's sometimes she gets lost and she tells like a 20-minute story and just play the music, bitch. All right. Just do your gypsy dance, bitch. All right. Stop running your mouth. But I guess she deserved it.
She can do whatever she wants.
So. Exactly, yeah.
It was a fun show. I think I was like 14 when I went to that Heart. Out in your neck of the woods, Johnny, at the Nassau Mausoleum.
Uh-huh.
That was not a bad show. Let's go around quickly. What was your first concert? John.
I think it was Hall and Oates.
Oh, me too. Me too. Hall and Oates at the Brendan Byrne Arena in Jersey.
Yeah, I think it was Hall and Oates at the Garden.
I was 11.
Yeah, I was about the same age, sure.
Hey, Rish, what about you?
I'm totally lost. I just never, like, the first ever concert.
Yeah.
God, I don't even remember. Huh? Gosh, does Disney on Ice count?
I know. Maybe I'll tease my daughter one day when she says, "What was your first?" They say, "What's your first concert?" She'll go, "One Direction." I'll go, "No, it was the Doodle Bops." Come on, don't you remember?
Technically.
God, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't do too many concerts. Like,
there's no wrong answers here.
maybe I think Three Doors Down. I think I went to Three Doors Down.
Oh, that'd be a good show.
Yeah, in high school, it was them and Oleander. Oh. Yeah, Oleander was the opening act. I don't even know if they around.
Jenny, what about you?
Well, I am from Southern Alabama, and so my first concert was Aaron Tippin.
I have no idea who the hell that is.
Yes, a country singer. Yeah. He sings a song called There Ain't Nothing Wrong With The Radio, and that was a huge hit.
You know, do you know what happens if you play a country record backwards?
What?
You get back your car, your wife, your house, your dog. Sorry, I couldn't resist. So that's going to wrap up the pop culture portion of our show. So you guys aren't off the hook yet. We're going to do the rapid fire round. So basically what this is, for those of you who may not be aware, this is basically the Facebook page polls. Like, you know, it's a this or a that. We're going to run the gamut of different categories. I'm just going to round, you know, you just, you know, give your answer. If you want to give like a sentence or two on explaining why you chose that, that's okay. There's no real rules here, despite what one of my producers may say. But, hey, let's just have a little fun, okay? We're going to start with you, Jenny.
All right.
All right. Snickers or Baby Ruth?
Snickers.
All right. Andrew.
Oh, Snickers.
John.
Yes, Snickers.
That's a clean sweep for Snickers.
Yeah, Sloth from the Goonies would disagree.
Yes, or from
Bill Murray would disagree.
Caddyshack, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Andrew, Tom or Jerry?
Tom, because he was misunderstood.
Yeah, D'Amato.
Yeah, Tom, I'm a cat person.
There you go. Jenny?
I'm a cat person too, but I'm going to go Jerry on this one.
Yeah, sometimes you just wanted to, like, beat Jerry because, like, Tom just never seemed to get your break.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have to have eaten it regularly, but just say if you had to pick one. John, would you have a Big Mac or a Whopper?
Damn, that's a tough one, but I'd have to go with the Whopper.
There you go. Jenny?
Big Mac.
All right.
No lettuce.
Oh. Any kind of healthiness out of that damn burger.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew?
Whopper, only because I hate bread. And Big Mac has bread in the middle.
Yes. So no. I had a Big Mac a few weeks ago. I think I have like one a year. I'm good. Yep. All right. Jenny, pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
All right. Even though you're from the South where waffle houses are on every corner?
I make better pancakes.
Ah, all right. So, Andrew, what about you?
Oh, pancakes. I would rather eat pancake mix than waffles.
What do you have against waffles?
What do I have against waffles? It's got holes in it. So if you have the butter, like say it's not melted, and you press it, well, what happens? How are you going to get to the butter? Like the butter's just like laughing at you because you can't eat the butter. It's stuck in the waffle.
You cut it and then you eat it with the waffle.
Yeah, but I don't have time for that. I swallow it whole. I'm a man.
So it's not the actual, because like basically all a waffle is a pancake with an egg in it. That's all it is. Really, that's all it is. When you buy pancake mix,
I love pancakes.
You know, but it's like when you buy pancake mix, when you says a recipe, like, you know, if you want to make waffles, add a fucking egg. That's all you can really
do. I'll tell you, my little brother is like a pancake eating master. I saw the man took a 4-stack and fold it and eat it in one sitting. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. So,
John, what about you? Waffles or pancakes?
Oh, waffles. You can have them with chicken. I don't think you have pancakes with chicken. I don't think they go together.
See? There you go. Yes, I'm going to go waffles also.
I can vouch that steaks don't go well with pancakes. I know because I tried.
All right. Who did I leave off with? Andrew, when you play tic-tac-toe, do you like to be X's or O's?
I never like to go start at the center, though.
Really?
Yeah. But it don't matter. Probably X.
All right. John?
X. And that's the first place I go is the middle.
Yeah. Usually.
You control the board. Mm-hmm. That's how you control the board.
You always go for the center square.
Yep.
Jenny, what about you?
X. And I go in the middle, too.
Yeah. All right.
Know why I like the middle? Because that was Paul Lynn's spot.
Oh, well, don't you know? They probably, well, Andrew probably knows who Paul Lynn is. Jenny's probably going, who the fuck is Paul Lynn?
I got nothing.
Google.
All y'all.
Google.
Just
I don't know who that
Hollywood
is.
Squares.
Oh, you don't know Paul Lynn?
I got you on that one. I didn't know who that one was.
Oh, Hollywood Squares. You guys don't know what you're missing.
Fucking Airwolf over here.
I know. We'll see Jenny on the year in pop in like when we get to what, the 2000 show?
Don't you have to be born during that year?
Old kiss.
What you're doing?
Oh, jeez. All right. Forget it. Let's take Apollo Creed out of the argument because we all know he was probably Rocky's best opponent. But let's go, John, Clubber Lang or Ivan Drago?
I'm going to have to go Clubber.
Yeah.
Because he beat him. He got a victory over him.
Jenny, what about you?
Drago.
All right. Andrew.
Clubber, he cut a better promo.
That's right. He did. He said a little more than, I'm going to break you. All right. Jenny, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Holy shit. You can't ask a nerd that question.
I fucking can.
What do you expect me to do with this?
Come on.
Trek.
Oh. Andrew.
What's the choice again?
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
John.
None of the above. unfortunately, I'm not a science fiction fan because my life is science fiction.
John's going to write in vote for Buck Rogers.
Mr. Ed.
But by the way, if you're asking, Star Wars is the correct answer. So, sorry, Glennie. Let me know. Glennie's a listen to the Glenn Buster Butler Hour Spectacular. He's a huge Star Trek fan, so he regularly does episodes on it. Andrew, Stone Temple Pilots or Soundgarden?
Man, you had to go with two Seattle guys. Can I just split the difference and go with like Pearl Jam? Soundgarden. Chris Cornell. What a voice. Mm. What a voice. Now, Scott, I mean, Weiland wasn't terrible either. I mean, Stone Temple, STP had some great songs. I really did. But, man, I love Soundgarden.
Yeah. John?
Not a huge fan of either, but I will go with Stone Temple Pilots.
Jenny?
Soundgarden.
Yeah, as much as I love Soundgarden, this is college for me. So, and Stone Temple Pilots just had way more songs that I got into. So I'm going with STP.
Yeah. This was a very depressing topic.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, Johnny, Superman or Captain America?
Oh, Superman.
All right, Jenny.
Superman.
Andrew.
Superman.
Oh, it's a clean sweep. All right. We're going to finish off with Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. Jenny.
Mortal Kombat.
The movie or the game?
Both.
Andrew.
Oh, Street Fighter had Hadouken and Sonic Boom. So, yeah. Street Fighter.
John.
Yeah, Street Fighter.
I think Jenny just likes the fatalities.
Finish him.
Well, the only game that I ever beat anybody at was Tekken 4 at that arcade, but that wasn't an option. So.
All right. Well, awesome rapid fire round. So we'll see. All those will be up on the Facebook page within the next few days for everybody else to vote on. We'll see, you know, if everybody agrees with me or not, because I am the one who's correct all the time. So
obviously
it's my show. You're just living in it. But anyway, so before we get out of here for the night, let's go around the horn and see what everybody's got coming up. Jenny, with your myriad of shows, what's coming up for you?
Okay, so this month we just had a new Geek and Sassy episode 31 entitled Netflix and Chill. Mm-hmm. And I was a guest on the Hard Traveling Fanboys where we looked at Ant-Man and the Wasp. And I'm going to have a Talking WCW coming up soon on the wrestling feed. And then I will have a Freak Out Drive-In later this month.
Oh, awesome. Looking forward. What's the, can you let us know the movie?
It's from the 90s.
Okay. It's just a tease. That's what they call it. All right, very cool. Andrew, what do you got coming up?
Adam and I are going to be reconvening pretty soon on NBA team to talk about the trade deadline and a bevy of moves that came down.
All right. John, what do you got coming up?
Me and Roger are going to be getting into this week in sports. Not to step on Andrew's toes, but we'll talk a little hoops and some baseball coming up.
This playroom.
And also the thing that started it all with the boys, the PICs. We just finished the Royal Rumble 1989 for the Vintage Vaults, and we'll be heading into WrestleMania season 1989.
Yeah,
so that's what started it all. Let's not forget. They'll give the boys their props, Scott and Justin.
Yeah, it was a fun show. I listened to it the other day, actually. So for me. Next week, well, 2 weeks from yesterday is the Oscars, and a couple of the panel will be joining me next week for a special Oscar preview podcast. That's right, Jenny and Andrew will be back, and Miranda, your Geek and Sassy partner, will be joining us as well, as long as the, you know, always entertaining Jason Sherman will also be on that show. So look for that next. Hopefully, I'll get that up on Tuesday.
Was Pamela Anderson nominated?
God, I hope so. like I said, I've mentioned a couple times, Laugh in Theater should be coming soon. I'm gonna hopefully start recording those. Everybody, well, Andrew, I haven't gotten a movie from you yet, but John and Jenny hopefully will be on episodes in the near future. Also, John is on Year in Pop with me while we go through the 70s with my co-host Scott Coscolo and the Dr. G. George Robolino. We did 1973. That was a lot of fun. 2 weeks ago, we recorded it, I believe.
Yes, sir. Old cast.
Yes, the old cast. The Four Horsemen of Apocalypse, we call ourselves. But 1974, we're trying to nail down a date for that. I'm really looking forward to that because that's tease it. That's Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein came out that year, so I'm really looking forward to talking probably one of my favorite comedians, filmmakers of all time, Mel Brooks. And then also my other show, Looking Forward, Looking Back, which has been a little bit of a hiatus, but we'll be coming back with a big episode in April. It will be our summer movie preview, so hopefully I'm going to get as many of the Pop Feed talent to be on that show, and we're going to have a little contest. So look forward to that coming probably like mid-April, you know, before Endgame comes out and the whole world, you know, lose their minds.
Is it a fight to the death within the Pop Feed?
It might be. Mm. You never know. But, yeah, so I want to thank you guys all for joining me tonight. I hope you guys had a good time. Hope the listeners had a good time. And we hope we sparked some good debate, some good conversations. So... We're going to wrap it up right now. So for Jennifer Smith, Andrew Reich, and John Arsenio D'Amato, I am Andy Addison, and thank you for joining us in the Great Debate. We'll see you next time.
Jockey. Fucking Jockey.
Oh, God.